weekly pulse on all things green and gold with the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, the co-host of Wilde and Tausch, the Channel3000.com savant, Jason Wilde. It is another season of Weekly Wilde coming out of the first preseason game, getting ready for preseason game number two on Saturday against the Indianapolis Colts. They let us do it again. Welcome back to Weekly Wilde, Mr. Wilde.
So what's weird about this is that I talk to you all the time. Mm-hmm. So while it's been a while since I could do Weekly Wilde.
Yeah.
I talked to you earlier today as we're recording this because you were cousin subbing on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Right.
I talked to you last night because you were cousin subbing on the Homer Hour.
Well, I guess the solution here would be tell people to stop taking damn vacation and we talk less.
Yeah, I would just say this. I told Jesse this as we were wrapping up Wilde and Tausch today, too, because he's off tomorrow. Tausch is off tomorrow. I said, this is why Paula gets pissed at me. Because you guys take off all the time and I hardly ever do. She's going to get after me when she hears that you guys are off again on Friday. I'm going to get grief. And I get it. I appreciate that she wants me around and she wants me to take some days off once in a while. But look, again, you and I have talked about this a million times. You've dreamed of doing this since you were just a little Schaefer in the greater Green Bay area. Son of a police officer. You chose, instead of law enforcement, risking your lives as a public servant, instead you chose this path. I chose this path at a young age, too. We got it great. We love it. We're very lucky to do what we do, so it doesn't feel like work very often.
Correct.
So much like this program here, which hopefully people remember that it exists, because we had some pretty good momentum going.
We did.
At the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we're starting much earlier than we did a year ago. We started right before week one last year. We're starting before preseason week two this year. So good for us. Pat on the back to us. You're welcome for our service. All right, let's get into everything that's gone on this week, because it's been a weird week. We'll start with the quarterback. Jordan Love takes that weird hit, his final snap in preseason game number one, the 30-10 loss to the New York Jets. Comes out of the game, don't really think anything of it. He only played two drives. That seems pretty normal for a starting quarterback, especially one worth $55 million a year. Monday, it is a practice closed to the public, but open to the media. Everybody makes the observation, oh, his non-throwing hand's thumb, so his left hand's thumb, is taped up. Okay, must have taken a weird hit, right? Don't really think anything of it. And then the general manager comes into the media auditorium Tuesday morning and says, the very first thing he says is, he's going to have a little operation, or little procedure, excuse me. Yep. Yes, not operation, not surgery, procedure on his thumb. He should be back in like a week. And we're all going, huh? That came out of left field. So we'll get to all the other repercussions that happens with the rookie wide receiver Matthew Golden and Malik Willis taking more snaps. Just Jordan Love specific. What do you make of this whole deal? And I guess this is a good thing that it happened in mid-August rather than, say, November, October, December?
Sure. So I'm going to back up a little farther. Further?
I believe.
Because here, what's interesting about this whole thing, and I can't wait. I don't know if he's going to talk in Indy. As we're recording this, it's before the Packers joint practice with the Colts on Thursday. I don't know. He was joining the team in Indianapolis after his little procedure, which is, by the way, still a surgery. I don't care how minimally invasive it is. If they cut into your person, it is surgery. Okay. It wasn't like an injection. So this is the real deal, right? So after the game, it took Love quite a while before he was at the podium. And I think you may have been one of our many great producers who cut my question and answer with him, because I asked him after the game, I said, hey, look, you know, at the end there, you take the sack. And I said, it kind of felt a little bit like Philly where you get turned around and then you get hit. And I said, I understand you're a competitor, but in a game that doesn't count, you have to be careful and try and figure out ways to play the way you want to play, but also be smart. And he, I mean, what I want to know from him the next time I see him is, did you know that your thumb was already jacked up when I asked you that? Right? Because his answer was great. Like, he was totally honest, you know, about how, especially as a quarterback, you can't be taking unnecessary hits. And, you know, as he was moving around, he said, I'm like, all right, how do I get the ball out of my hand or get down? That was part of his answer. And again, he did a really good job of being smart until he didn't, right? Because then the competitor takes over and he's jump cutting to create a throwing lane. And then he finally goes, oh crap, I should probably not be doing this. I just wonder if he knew that he had done something. And again, the other thing I want to ask him when we do talk to him, if this was the regular season, you know, there's people, I won't name anyone, but there are people that have accused him of being injury prone because of this. If this was the regular season, I got news for you. He ain't having the surgery.
0%
chance. He's playing this week.
0% chance.
So this is the kind of thing that I think is really important, that I want to get those two answers from him. But this is why I love the preseason. You've heard me say that a million times. Love the preseason for all the guys that are trying to keep the NFL dream alive, trying to make the roster, the Omar Browns, mm-hmm. the Tremont Williamses, the Kevin Case Fahards. I hate it for the guys that you know are your guys. And, you know, I told Goody after he came in and told us about Love's injury, I said, I'm hearing Ted Thompson's voice. And I was, from the great beyond. Bubble wrap. I wish I could put all these guys in bubble wrap. That's what he used to say. And if you had bubble wrapped Jordan Love, this is not happening. Because he's not in that game. He does the two joint practices. He goes through all the other practices. He goes to family night, where he can't be hit. He's always wearing a red jersey. And yes, he doesn't experience getting hit, but he also isn't in harm's way. And as innocuous as that play looked, it did turn out to damage him. And now, again, I don't think it's going to adversely affect, and then I'll let you ask a question again. I don't think it's going to adversely affect his functionality as a player. But him missing time, all these other wide receivers missing time, my question to LaFleur was, how do you get your offense to hit the ground running given the games you have to start the season? And I got it. That's a great question, because he doesn't have the answer yet.
Of course he doesn't.
So that's the, to me, that is the risk. And Goody stood his ground and said, look, I still believe this team has to play. Mm-hmm. So he's willing to absorb that risk. I just am not. Because this is the kind of stuff that would drive me batty.
Yeah, rightfully so. And, you know, as the rest of the injuries start to pile up, I'm fascinated by what the second preseason game looks like in terms of guys who you just alluded to. The guys you know are your guys, right? Because we're not going to see a ton of them on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Hobbs, Xavier McKinney, maybe Romeo Dobbs. I guess we don't know the extent of his injury. Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Luke Musgrave, I know, maybe dealt with an injury earlier in the week at practice. So there's all sorts of guys that are getting banged up. It doesn't sound like it's super severe and there's a risk of missing time in the regular season. But for an offense that looked as putrid as it did Saturday against the New York Jets in limited snaps, it makes me a little concerned for knocking off the rust come week one if none of these guys, including the quarterback, Jordan Love, are going to play anymore in the preseason.
Yeah, again, I you should feel nervous, right? Like, again, if they were opening with Denmark and Ashwaubenon, okay, you probably two games you should win.
Especially against Denmark. No knock in my alma mater, but.
Yeah, hey, the Jaguars and the Vikings have put up a fight. I know they will.
Yeah, right.
But the bottom line is you're facing two teams that are NFC championship contenders. One that won the division last year, went to the NFC title game 2 years ago. The other that went to the NFC title game last year. You're at home. You only got 8 home games. You really want to hit the ground running and go 2-0 against those guys and put yourself in a great spot to start the season. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do that. Now, if Matt LaFleur gets paid whatever it is, $8 million a year, to figure out how to make it work and run a bunch of two tight end sets and give the ball to Josh Jacobs a lot and use play action and don't get super hyper technical with your route plans. And you could still win. I'm not saying they can't win, but you would much rather be in a better place going into those games. That's all. I just don't know how you're going to feel prepared offensively. Even if he's able to do some work, like, is Jordan Love really, are they going to put him out? He's not going to play in the preseason for now. He's not taking part in the joint practice with the Colts. He's not playing against the Colts on Saturday. Are you going to put him out there for any sort of 11-on-11 with the Seahawks?
Doubt it.
I doubt it, right? So now, by playing him 12 snaps in the preseason opener, you have lost what I would argue are the two best opportunities to prepare without putting your quarterback at risk, because he's not going to take part in those. Now, maybe he does. Maybe we're wrong. But again, I, at this point, I don't know. I'd be scared you-know-whatless. Heck, I'd be probably limiting how much I play Malik Willis in a preseason game now.
Fair.
Just in case. Right?
I'm curious to see how they operate with Willis. Because obviously you still want him to get some meaningful snaps in case they do need him in the regular season, which as of right now does not sound like they will, at least for the opener. But it's a fair thought for you, and you're kind of a helicopter coach, parent, beat writer. But I imagine there's a little bit of wings going in circles above Matt LaFleur's brain right now as he sees all these guys getting bit by the injury bug. Speaking of which, this Jaden Reed situation, I'm a little confused by because there's a lack of information. It sounds like a sprained foot for Jaden Reed. It was spotted earlier in the week in a walking boot. And Matt LaFleur, I don't want to say he played it down because he certainly didn't. He said something to the effect of, anytime you see a guy in a boot, that's a concern, which makes it sound like maybe he won't even be available for week one. What do you know on the Jaden Reed front? Because obviously this is a guy who's been their leading receiver each of the last two seasons.
Yeah, it was really weird to me. The way he, you know, it was Domofsky and me and maybe one or two other people that grabbed him after the game. And he was changing boots from one boot to another. And like when we tried to, I'm trying to find the quotes from him, because it was definitely like, I don't want to be the one to say this, or I don't want to be the one to say that, which was just weird. So I don't know what his reservations were, or if he was, you know, being coy, right? I mean, he could have been doing that. It was like he was purposely being evasive. And I don't know why that was, but he was, here, I think I have it now. He said, when we asked him what was going on with your foot, he said, I'm just battling a little something with my foot right now, just taking it day by day. Bill Huber said to him, you seem to be in good spirits, so it must not be a major concern. He said, I mean, I don't want to be wrong about anything, so I ain't going to be the one to say it.
Oh.
And then I think I was the one who asked, is there any chance you could miss the opener? And he said, I don't want to be the one to speak on it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. So, again, maybe it's nothing. Like, maybe it's just weird, right? Like, he's just being super cautious, doesn't want to speak out of turn. I don't know. But the issue is that's not – and, again, he can say whatever he wants to us. Okay. Like, I'm not here to tell him what he's allowed or what he has to say or what he can't say. Okay, that's not – I don't get to dictate that. The reason I bring this up is it is abnormal for my interactions with him.
Yeah.
He is usually very open. Like, he and I have a great working relationship. You know, we're not going out to dinner or anything like that. We're not friends, but he and I have a really good working relationship. And it was just weird. And so I don't know why it was. Maybe there's no reason. Maybe it's just in a mood. Maybe he was frustrated that he didn't get to play in the preseason game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and again, maybe it's, you know, I had my, you know, my issues with my toe, turf toe, which was created by me, avoiding a small kitten and banging my toe and busting it open on a door.
Smooth.
Which is the way a lot of people, well, the kittens are really cute. They don't have a lot of great spatial awareness though. So better to be injure myself than hurt one of them. But my point is that maybe, you know, cause we had been told earlier in the week that he had like an issue with his shoe. Like he'd worn like a shoe that had created some sort of issue with his toe. Right. Maybe he was just a little embarrassed about the weirdness of what his football situation was, right? Like, I kind of felt embarrassed. So my point is that maybe there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is he's not practicing. And that is the one thing that does matter. I don't care how it happened. I don't care if he's ready for week one, great. But he will still miss this time. And Love will miss this time. And Wicks has missed this time. And Christian Watson has missed this time. Now, you know, again, as we're recording this, I don't know if Dobbs is going to practice today in Indy, right? It looked like maybe it was his back when he hobbled off after that collision with Evan Williams on Tuesday. Like, how do you create offensive, and I know you like this word, synchronicity, when nobody's on the field other than Josh Jacobs, Matthew Golden, Tucker Kraft, and Luke Musgrave?
The answer is you don't. And that's where maybe, I don't want to hit the panic button because I still think this is a really good football team. But just the way they're piling up, as a fan, of course it's concerning. But the good news is none of it sounds super long term. The Reed one's just weird, though. And you've only made it sound weirder from the lack of information I have. So thank you for the clarity on that, or the lack thereof.
Lack thereof, yeah, exactly.
On Jaden Reed. Let's stay in that room, but let's go positive. Matthew right. Golden looks the part.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you disagree? I mean, obviously, you've been there just about every day.
No, he definitely does. I am, you know, I've told you this before on KBN. You know, I like to think of myself as the thumb on the scale guy.
Yep.
And if people are getting too low, I push on the other end to lift them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're downtrodden because of a loss. Hey, all right, now it's all right. You know, they're going to be fine. R-E-L-A-X, if you will. And if they're getting too high and they're like, oh, my God, this guy's great. Well, wait a minute now. And then I tamp down enthusiasm a little bit. In his case, confession time.
Oh, boy.
Little hard for me to put my thumb on the, hey, slow your roll side of the scale.
Ooh, I like hearing that.
Because... And you've heard me compare him to Greg Jennings, which,
high
again,
price.
I understand how Greg Jennings left. I still remember that Vikings helmet that he signed, Packers suck. And that was a big deal, right? That was back in the early days of Twitter, and it kind of went viral. But that is high praise for me, because I think Greg Jennings was a stud. Like, I had multiple people who worked in the building tell me if he'd have just stayed with the Packers for his entire career, he would have retired as the Packers' all-time leading receiver. He would have surpassed Donald Driver, no problem. So when I say that, that is a really big deal coming from me. But there are similarities, right? They're about the same size, like 5'11", 200-ish. They both had really, really strong hands. Like we saw. Golden drop a pass earlier in the week. It was the first one that I saw. He may have had another one. I might have missed it, but I don't think so. They're both really smooth athletes. You know, I use the word glide to describe how they run their routes. They glide, right? So those are all great things. Now, the only way that I would put my thumb on the scale a tiny bit is to say he's still a rookie. Now, there have been guys that have come in, right? Malik Nabers did it last year with a bad team. Jamar Chase did it. Justin Jefferson did it. So in the last 5-6 years, there's been guys that have done it and been boom, 1,400 yard receivers. Yeah. I just don't think the Packers' dynamics is going to allow for that.
I tend to agree.
I think he's going to have some games kind of like Devontae Adams, where when he was a rookie in 14, you're like, they can't defend this guy. They can't cover him. And he did that against the Cowboys in the playoff game. He did that against Belichick and the Patriots in a game. I think there might be more of those games for Golden than there were for Devontae that first year. But I still think we have to be a little bit careful. Let's not put him down for, 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. And if he does that, great. But let's not look at his season that if he ends up with like 800 yards and 6 touchdowns as a disappointment, because it is a great building block for a guy that they want to be their number one long term.
I just want to acknowledge, you just said, don't be disappointed if he has 800 yards. The Packers haven't had an 800-yard receiver in several years. I think Jaden Reed only had 750 last year.
Fact check you, because that's what I do here.
Yeah.
What does it say in my open for KBN, holding everyone accountable?
Yes, it does say that.
All right. In 2024, which was last season,
I believe Reed had 750-ish.
Jaden Reed had 857 receiving
yards.
Oh,
darn. So, okay. Fair enough.
Now, in fairness to you, again, the previous year when he led them in receiving, also, remember, for a guy that we keep saying is a slot receiver, he doesn't play that many snaps, he's led them in receptions and yardage each of his first 2 years in the league.
Yeah.
Rookie year, 64 catches, 793 yards, okay, 8 touchdowns. 2024 for Jaden Reed, only 55 catches.
But more yards.
But for more yardage, 857 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Okay, got it. I must have messed up the two seasons. But regardless, 800 yards would be a heck of a debut season for that guy. Now, I think the expectations, rightfully so, are higher because he was a first-round pick, and the early reports, including yours just a second ago, are the guy's taken camp by storm. He just looks the part. He's got strong hands. He doesn't drop the football, which obviously the Packers struggled with a year ago. It's all really good stuff. And, I mean, we've talked about this a few times, but LaFleur last year, when you guys asked him about the quote-unquote wide receiver one, WR1, he said he wants to vomit every time he hears that. I feel like he probably doesn't want to vomit anymore because he might have a guy that's truly capable of that. And to go back to Jaden Reed, who's been the leading receiver each of the last 2 years, the hope is, unless this weird injury that's going on changes things, you're also going to have him at your disposal. So LaFleur and Love are going to have several options in the receiving game that should be improved from a year ago, including the rookie year for Matthew Golden. So all of that excites me, despite a couple of drops in Saturday's preseason opener.
Look, I do worry about sometimes that we, and I'm guilty of this too. I don't even want to get into how some Brewers fans are finding a way to be nervous after a 12-game winning streak, but they are. And I'm not here to judge them either. But sometimes we just need to say, hey, let's just enjoy the ride. And if you get your guts ripped out, you get your guts ripped out, right? That's part of being a sports fan. In the Packers case, I don't think there's any reason to feel like doomsday-ish, but look, I'm part of establishing narratives, and I think it's a valid narrative. How are you going to get the offense going right out of the chute when you're in the situation you are? It's a long season. They're going to lose games they shouldn't lose. They're going to win games you don't expect them to win, and we'll see where they end up when it's all over. But they've got a lot of really good pieces, and I keep going back to the phrase that I've said to you and everybody else at ESPN Wisconsin and everywhere else, like, they got a bunch of really good players.
Mm-hmm.
Now, none of them, in my opinion, not even Tucker Kraft, who I hold in very high esteem, none of them have done it consistently enough. And if they all can do that now, as they come of age as third and fourth year players, look the blank out. If they don't, and LVN is still sometimes good and a lot of times just sort of there, and Rashawn Gary and Jordan Love and all the wide receivers, if it's just sort of intermittent glimpses, that ain't going to be enough. It hasn't been enough the last 2 years. It's not going to be enough this year either against an even harder schedule. So I don't know what the season's going to end up playing out as, but the bottom line is they have some pieces that make you think they could be really good. And then they have some reasons to say, if these guys don't come together the way they need to, then they're just going to be kind of what they've been. And maybe that's not even good enough this year, given the schedule, to even make the playoffs possibly.
Yeah, but we're going to remain positive because it's only preseason.
That's what we do here.
Although I do have a negative question for you, and maybe you can make me feel better about it. The defensive line didn't give us a lot of great stuff in the preseason opener. Early reports from practice are some of those guys have taken a step, LVN specifically. But they didn't make any changes. They didn't make any smashing additions to that defensive line, other than they changed a coach and they drafted Baron Sorrell on day 3 of the NFL draft. But DeMarcus Covington is the new defensive line coach. Other than that, it's pretty much the same group minus TJ Slayton. And nothing to write home about in the preseason opener. What do you make of that group? What do you make of Covington early on here in the preseason?
I would like him to be more quotable.
That's a reporter. He was really good. A reporter answer right there.
That is for sure. I am curious. Like, he does run different drills than Rebrovich did, so that's part of it. But look, the proof is going to be in the pudding. Hmm. I mean, are they going to be better or not? Now, it's not just him, right? It's also year 2 of the system, right? So that matters. That helps. We'll see if they feel more comfortable. Maybe I haven't been fair to Rashawn Gary, but I don't love the excuse of, I've been playing in a 3-4, now I'm playing in a 4-3.
You're a professional football player, dude. You got to adapt.
Right. And oh, by the way, I don't think it's unreasonable to say, hey, man, you played in a 4-3 in college. Like, in Kenny Clark's case, I'll buy it, because before last year, he had never played in a 4-3 ever.
Wow.
Not in high school, not in college, not in the NFL. I don't know if that's I just don't know if that's a valid excuse or reason to use for Rashawn Gary. But I will say this. He's among the players that I am dying to see what his season looks like. Because he could potentially, and again, I'm not predicting this, he could have like a 12-sack season, and we could stop all the, hey, this guy, you know. I mean, Domofsky had a great stat in his story about him a couple weeks ago. He was 45th in the league among qualifying pass rushers in pressures and 60th in the league in pressure percentage. I'm no analytics guy, but that's not good. That's not elite. So I'm eager to see what his season looks like. I really am curious.
Yeah, me too. All right, last thing for you, Jason. Just I know rapid fire usually isn't your speed, but I want to give you the opportunity to talk about a few guys you've got your eye on. You just said, you know, you love the stories in the preseason, the guys that are trying to keep the NFL dream alive. I don't think we're going to see a ton of starters Saturday against the Indianapolis Colts. So who do you have circled in your notebook? Who are you keeping an extra close eye on Saturday against the Colts?
Well, I'm always watching my guy, Bo Melton.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, fascinating story. He looked good in the opener. He looked like he played the position.
He did. Although, as I joked with him, the way things are going at wide receiver, you are going to play both ways.
Correct. Yeah. He's Travis Hunter of the Packers. Like, yeah.
So I don't think they're going to play him at wide receiver. They want him to continue to work at being a corner. They want him to get the snaps there, but he is a nice safety blanket to have as an option. So I want to see him. I do want to see the other guys at corner though, right? Kalen King did some slot stuff. I want to see what he does because they need more guys.
Yeah.
You know, again, we don't know if Nate Hobbs is going to be ready for the opener or not. They got to have some options if somebody goes down. I want to see more from LVN. You know, we mentioned him earlier. I'm very eager to see him do more. I want to see Jordan Morgan have another really good game if he's going to be the left tackle. And again, I don't know that, but I want to see what he does again in another game. Because I still think that we have gone too much pendulum-y with the left tackle thing. Oh, there's no way he's going to unseat Sheed Sheed might as well retire, basically, right? Overreaction. So I do want to see that. I want to see Jacob Monk bounce back. He seems like a really nice kid. But, man, Tausch can tell you there is no worse feeling. It's like walking on the highway in a Texas rainstorm. Can't run, can't hide, can't make it stop. That's what he went through in that game.
Yeah.
And so hopefully he gets to bounce back. I want to see these other wide receivers, you know, Cornelius Johnson, the kid from Michigan. He's caught my attention. This Nayor guy that they brought in late, eager to see that. But the guy that I'm most excited to see, and I hope he can get through the game healthy, is Marshawn Lloyd. Because we saw a little flash of it in Denver last year in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Then he got hurt. Then we saw a little flash of it against these same Colts at Lambeau Field for his one game he played in the regular season. And he got hurt. Then he was just about to come back, and he burst his appendix. Mm-hmm. So this is a big moment for him. And I'm really, I would go so far as to say rooting for him, because it's a really tough, he's had a really rough year and a really rough start to his NFL career. And nobody should go through that. And, you know, if you're not going to make the team or you're not good enough to cut it in this league, that's not my problem. That's not my job. But I would like to see you have an opportunity to prove either that you do belong or you don't.
Yeah, especially when you're a day two draft pick. Also, this is just a side note before we wrap up. I don't understand the appendix. So that's just an organ you don't need?
Look, I don't want to turn this into some sort of religious conversation. But, as, you know, God made you and me the way he did. I don't know what the reason is for the appendix either. I'm not a doctor, nor am I a theologian. So, but yeah, it's weird. That basically the only time you hear about the appendix,
is like,
I know what your liver does.
Yeah, right.
I know what your kidneys do.
Yep.
I don't know. The only time you hear about the appendix is when it messes you up because it's inflamed and going to burst.
Yep.
Don't get it.
And when you get surgically removed. Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. Okay. Well, that is a heck of a way to end the first edition of Weekly Wildy with our George Webb aficionado and Brewers fever feeling three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wildy. We will do it again next week ahead of the preseason finale against the Seattle Seahawks. Jason, appreciate the time as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Drop my ball. Yeah, I appreciate you too, buddy. Great to be back with you.
We'll do it again next week. It's Weekly Wildy on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel and the ESPN Wisconsin app.